Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, amen, amen. All right, so I said I had a retraction from the last time that I got up here. Some of you may not have been here, but those of you that were, when I was doing the message, I made a mention of different flavors that you might be a part of as far as different churches. And I really used a bad word in saying flavors, especially in the sense of today's religion, should I say. And as you guys know, we're not a religion, we're just a bunch of believers. However, there are a bunch of different churches out there that believe things that are not in accordance with the word and not in accordance with what we believe as believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to retract that. And what I was trying to say was there may be different dispensations that you may be attracted to. So like when I was a kid, my minister used to, you know, hoop and do all those different things. So that's one dispensation of listening to the word. Others may be a lot more calm. Some may be more dramatic. Some may be more charismatic. So that's what I was trying to say. You can't just go to any church. You need to search that out where you're going to, because there's a lot of things out there nowadays that are not beneficial to us. So I wanted to make that retraction before we got started. And so, again, my apologies. Sometimes you get up here and you start going a little faster than your mind allows, and you make those mistakes. So I just wanted to make sure that we stayed on point and didn't confuse anybody. And if I did, charge it to my head and not my heart. So we're going to pray first, and then we'll get started. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you once again for the opportunity to be found in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you for all of those that are here. We thank you for those that are listening by way of internet, Heavenly Father. We ask God that right now, that your word, Heavenly Father, would do what it is called to do, that it will not return void. And Father, wherever people are listening, for those that are listening now or maybe even later, we pray that it will be a blessing to them and their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, so today's title of the message is going to be called Up a Little Higher. It's called Up a Little Higher. And so today, my purpose is to make sure that once we become believers, we should purpose to reach the highest level of relationship with God. So once we become believers, so if you're not a believer, first thing you have to do is give your life to Christ. And how do we give our lives to Christ? First, we believe upon him, which means we may have to read or someone shares that word with us. And then as we receive that word, we start to learn more about it for ourselves. And as we learn more about what Jesus did in the gospel, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we then can test that out to see if the message of Jesus Christ is real or not. If it's not real, then you reject it, which I believe it to be real, so I don't reject it. I don't believe that anybody that is here rejects it, but if so, then you have to make a choice. So choice is tantamount to becoming a believer. So if you choose and see and know that the word of God is true, then we walk forward. And then we try to move up a little bit higher as we believe upon him and the works that he did, the fact that he was a perfect man, he did not sin, he died a death that he didn't have to die if he didn't want to, because he was powerful, he was God himself. He sacrificed his life for all of us. And then he died, he defeated death, and he rose again, was seen by more than 500 people. And then after he was seen by those people, he stayed on this earth for a time, and then he ascended into heaven. And that's why we praise and worship God even now. So once we receive that, the fact that Jesus Christ is God, then our purpose from that point should be to get closer and closer and to move up a little bit higher in our relationship with him each and every day, okay? Now, what we do recognize is that once we become saved, we don't all start at the same point. I'll use myself, for example. I was kind of initiated into it. My parents went to church, they brought me. I started that process then. I totally gave my life to Jesus. I was 23 years old when I made the decision for myself. It wasn't like, oh, mama made me go to church and the Sunday school and now I'm a Christian. No, that's a great start. That's a great jump off point. But there are many people that I went to church with that are no longer Christians or don't believe. So you have to make that, we have to each make a decision ourselves. That was my jump off point. As a little kid, got out of school and then I made a decision that this makes sense to me because reading it, understanding it, and what he had done in my life made sense to me. Some people come by other ways. They're much older in life, and they, for whatever reason, make a decision that Jesus Christ needs to be their savior. Now, everybody's, the reason may be different for everyone, but we all come in different ways. Some people may have more money than others that come to Christ. And sometimes it affects how we see Christ as we try to move up higher in our relationship with God. Some people's relationships with their parents may not be good when they come to Jesus. So sometimes that kind of messes up the way people may see God or see Jesus, okay? Because if your relationship with your parents or with someone that did something to you or an authority figure over you may be messed up, then it can really affect how we see God and affects how we move up higher and get closer to God, okay? So one thing that's equal all the way across once we receive Jesus as our Savior is that for the most part, we all come in as babes in Christ. We come in probably not knowing a whole lot. There are some that may. You know, there may be some person that's a theologian or whatever that's not saved and then changes and gives his life over to Christ. But that's usually not the way we most of us come in. Most of us hear the word, we receive it, and then we come to Christ. So as babes, we have to start off at a jump-off point that's really, that's a little bit lower. We don't start off all the way at the top, just no different than when a child is born as a baby. You don't expect them to go out there and pick up 400 pounds of weight. You don't expect them to start walking as soon as they're a baby. There's an expectation that that child is going to grow up, and then, all things being equal, in a normal situation, that child then learns to walk. So right now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, they'll bring it up on the screen, so you'll be able to follow along with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Here we see Moses, so I'm not reading right now, but here we see Moses talking to the Israelites, and he has talked to them about the blessings and curses that God gives in his, that we can choose. And so he's gone through that, and then he says this here in chapter 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Okay? So we see here in verse 19 where it's talking about the blessings and curses. So people are not just blessed. Okay, let's establish that right now. People don't just walk out and they're just blessed, all because that's just, you know, God just threw this blessing on them for no reason at all. There's a purpose between being blessed. There's a purpose between being cursed. If your life is cursed and you're not able to move up higher with God, then there's something that you're doing, either that's not pleasing to God, you hadn't accepted him, something along those lines. Now, what modern day people call blessings may or may not be blessings. So what do I mean? What are you saying, Brother Chris? Brother Chris is saying that sometimes we see things out there like big cars and lots of money and all kind of other things that are pleasing to our physical eye that we may want, and we call those things blessings. That's not necessarily a blessing. Blessings are when we are walking rightly with God. That's a blessing. It may not manifest itself in the way of money. It may not manifest itself in the way of a big car, but you sleep well at night. You treat people correctly. You have a peace about yourself that cannot be taken away from you, regardless of the situation. Whether you're in sickness or in health, that peace cannot be taken away from you. And through those things, you walk higher and higher and higher, and you get closer to God in that way through God's blessing. Not these things that people on earth call blessings. Now, am I preaching against having a nice car or a nice home or having money? No, God knows we need all of those things. But what I am saying is we want to be clear what a blessing is. Doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't necessarily mean that you are blessed because you have a lot of stuff. I remember as a kid, I lived in a low-income neighborhood with a bunch of other people that looked just like me. We would sleep at nighttime. We wouldn't lock our doors. We would not, I remember my mom going to the washateria because we didn't have a washer and dryer at the house at that time. We only had one car. And she left and walked to the washateria, right? So I'm in the back. I'm probably 5 years old. So nowadays, Mom, I'm sorry, but you know, I think the statutes of limitation have run out on this one. But I was in the back sleep. They were gone. Nowadays, you would call that neglect. But my mom didn't neglect me. When she left to go to the washateria, she let some of the neighbors know. That's kind of how we lived back then. So I remember going outside looking for my mom because I woke up. And one of the neighbor that she told, came out and got me and said, oh, it's fine, it's going to be okay. Well, I was still a little upset. And then, you know, a few minutes later, my mom comes home and all of those things are over with. My point is that we didn't have much money. I said we had one car. At the time, it was three boys, my mom and dad. But there was a blessing in the fact that we could live in a low-income neighborhood. It was not trashed out. It was fairly clean. People dealt with each other with respect. Most of those people, as I remember, believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a blessing to live and to grow up in a neighborhood like that. Now, I know others that grew up in much more affluent neighborhoods in the same town that I was from. I'm from Lake Charles, born and raised there. Actually, I'm a resident of Baton Rouge now. I've been here longer than I've been there. However, I have some friends or acquaintances, people that I knew, whose parents made tons of money, but they had no peace. They had no rest. They were always worried about who was going to swipe their money or who was coming after them. They couldn't move up a little higher. They couldn't move up in their relationship with Christ because they didn't know him, which means you don't have peace. Regardless of what you see on social media, regardless of what you hear, the pictures that you see on social media, the smiles and the, you know, everybody's doing fine, that looks good, but be aware. Now, I don't know what other people's situation is, but be aware. That's just because somebody's smiling and looking like they're having fun doesn't mean that they're blessed, okay? So what we want to do is be able to move up a little bit higher. So now, I said that, I want to go back a little bit, said that we all start off in our relationship as babes, and we have to grow into mature Christians. So I want to go now to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. When you get it, say amen. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. It's up there on the board. Okay? So I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Okay? It says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? So what we're saying here in that scripture, in that text, I'm sorry, let me see. I lost my place here. In one second. Okay, so what we're saying here is that many times once we get started on this journey to get closer and closer to God, we have to set a foundation, and that foundation has to be built upon the Word of God. Being a Christian is a free gift. You don't have to pay any of those things to become a Christian, right? However, it does cost, and that cost is in you working and taking the opportunity to meditate upon the Word, to pray, to meditate on Scripture, your prayer time, reading and studying the Word so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth. Once you accept God, the milk is for babes. So I did a little research to find out about babies and when they could start, like, eating meat. And I was very surprised that they could actually start eating meat at the age of 6 months. Now, not the big Ruth Chris steak that you guys go out and get. Can't give them that. It has to be blended up and chopped up. So it's a ways later before they can start eating actual meat like that. But they can actually, you can actually blend it up real well, and they can digest it. And it's not a bad thing for them. It actually provides a good bit of iron for their bodies. However, what we're talking about here is before that six-month period comes, they have to, you got to feed them milk. It has to be, you know, they do formula and things because it will give them indigestion. It could really make babies very sick. So in the same way, when we first come to Christ, the Word has to be kind of chopped up and blended up for us, line upon line, precept upon precept. There's a scripture that talks about that, line upon line, precept upon precept. We have to get there before God, and we have to learn our Word. I think one of the travesties for many believers is that we come to Christ, and many times we don't have anybody to mentor us. And if you don't have a mentor, it's just like these basketball fellas over there. You can give them a basketball, you can throw them out there, and they'll get to playing and doing whatever. But they're not, they're all that's gonna happen is whoever has the most natural ability, that's probably gonna be the guy to win. Maybe the tallest, maybe the quickest, that's gonna be the guy that's gonna win. The older they get, and if they don't have anybody mentoring them in the game, the same thing's gonna happen. So the guy that's a little bit shorter might get taller than everybody, and he's gonna win. But if you're teaching them the game, and they start learning things like how to set a pick is when, you know, you stand there, the guy comes over, and he comes off and gets to get a shot, or he passes it, or whatever. Once they learn the game, then they have an opportunity to defeat the guy that may be a little bit bigger, or a little bit quicker, or jumps higher. Because there are some things that you can do to negate that. So in the same way, in our Christian experience as believers, we have to learn the game. And what is the game? And it's not a game at all. It's life. It's this. We have to learn that this word here is what directs and keeps our life. This is what allows us to get a little bit higher, for more and more blessings to come in our life. And not blessings of things, but blessings of joy and of peace, of long-suffering, of patience. All of those things that we need on a day-to-day to keep ourselves out of jail from hitting that person that says something crazy to us, to keep ourselves in our classrooms and not getting suspended when the little guy that you don't like does something to you that you're just not too happy about. You know, you want to haul up and hit him. You can't do that. There are benefits of learning this word. No different than there are benefits in these young men learning the game of basketball if they really want to get good at it. Because some people have great talent, but then there's others that are great at the fundamentals. And usually the guy that's the greatest at the fundamentals, all things being equal, he's always going to come out better. So in the same way, we have to learn the fundamentals of this word in order to grow and draw closer and to mature from babes into mature Christians that are not just needing milk, meaning, you know, the very basics of the word of God, to more substantive things that can carry us further and further down the road, okay? So I want to go to, before we go there, I want to talk about why does God need us to come up a little higher? Why does God need us to come up a little higher? And what I mean by coming up a little higher, meaning learning more and more of the word on a day-to-day basis. What is that all about? How does that help? God doesn't need me. He don't need me. He don't need you. He don't need nobody. The Bible says that God will call the rocks to cry out in our place if we don't worship him. And I don't want to be that person that's has a rock there crying out because I won't open my mouth or I won't make the decision to get up in the word and learn about who he is, because that's what will happen regardless of what people say, regardless of the naysayers about God. Oh, you know, religion is just for people that can't think. You know, it's the opium of the people. It just keeps people in place. Regardless of all of that, this word is true. There are too many prophecies that have already come true. There have been too many people that have witnessed about Jesus Christ, which this whole book of the Bible is about. God uses us, and as we come up a little bit higher, guys, God allows his word to reach more and more people. Now, we may not go overseas to Africa or to South America doing missions or any of those things, but there's somebody in your hood that needs to know about Christ, in your neighborhood that needs to know about Christ. And as we grow and we become more and more mature, then we become less and less fearful of sharing about Jesus Christ to other people. Well, why is that important? Because it's important because we are the ones that spread that seed to other people of the gospel. How can people know who God is if we don't share that with them? In that same vein, if we don't share that gospel with people, we lose out. We lose our reward. And so I don't want to lose my reward. So I, each and every day, want to set my lifestyle around prayer, taking time in the morning to meditate. After I meditate, whatever I'm doing during the day, I do that. I take time to try to pray. And then I try to read my word to draw closer to God. Well, why is all of this important? It's important because one day we're all going to leave this earth. We're not all going to be here. And then we're really going to be up a little higher, because at some point you're going to have to stand in front of a holy God who's all powerful with all the resources. And you're going to have to say, with all of the things going on. So you may say, nobody ever really told me about God. The Bible says that the firmament declares who God is. The firmament is the trees and the grass and the air and all of those things that are out there. Nobody has ever seen air. Can't see it. Can't see air. But I tell you what, when Katrina came through here, you saw what it could do, right? So none of us have ever seen God. But God has sent his word, this Bible, which some say, again, I'm going to hold it up, send this word, that some say, it's just a bunch of men that wrote some letters. And we're not doubting that Jesus lived, but man, all of this stuff is just made up. It's just, no, we gotta continue to press forward, come up a little bit higher each and every day so that we learn to refute all of the fiery darts that the adversary fires at us. So God wants us to come up a little bit higher so that we can help others to know the word, to help others and draw them closer to Christ, to introduce them to him at the very least. None of us can get anybody saved. However, we can offer Christ to others and have people make the decision to either choose him or not. We can't make that decision for them, but we put it out there for them, okay? All right. God wants us to be persuasive. He wants us to be protected, and he wants us to be armed for the kingdom of God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Okay, if you got it, say amen. If not, it's on the board. Let's read through it. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Okay, I want to go back and talk a little bit about what all this means, because I used to read it when I was young, and I didn't really understand what it was talking about. I understand a bit more now. I said earlier that God wants us to be persuasive, he wants us to be protected, and he wants us to be armed for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to come in here at verse 13, and we're going to talk about this whole armor of God and why it's important for us to have this in order for us to move up and be higher and get our relationship closer and higher with God, okay? So verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Well, people, I got a message for you. We in that evil day, whether you recognized it or not. We got wars jumping off. We have famines going on. We have all kind of craziness going on. We don't know if a man is a man or a woman is a woman. We're saying that just all kind of craziness that I'll date myself. I'm 54. 45 years ago when I was 10 years old, there was in some areas. So I'll try to be consistent here. But in my peer group, when I was 10, 45 years, something like that ago, 10, 9 years old, there was no doubt of whether a man was a man or a woman was a woman. And just some of the other things, you know, I need to call you this or that. There was no doubt of that. Now, am I getting down on anybody? I'm not getting down on anybody. But we are in evil days. Now, the one thing we must remember about these evil days is that this isn't the first time that this has happened. Now, you know, in history, if you go back and look at ancient Rome, all of this stuff was going on back then. This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, as it says in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes. So we have to recognize, though, that we have to be able to stand during this evil day. And what Paul was talking about here in the book of Ephesians here, when Paul was in chains, when he was in prison, there were guards. No different than right now when they catch somebody and they bring them, you have a guard that walks them, marches them over to the jail. Well, Paul, even though he didn't do anything, he was put in jail and was awaiting trial. And he had all these Roman soldiers that were around him. So he used this example of this full armor because the Roman soldiers were ready. They were ruthless and they kept all of these different things. However, Paul just used these analogies here and turned them around for our good. Okay, so he says that standing therefore in verse 14, standing therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The loins girt about with truth. Well, what is that? So he's really talking about a belt that the Roman soldiers wore. They wore a belt that went around here, and they were able to put other things in it that they may have needed for warfare. okay? So your loins is kind of this area here. So he had this loin girded around him. He had his loins girded about with truth. Well, what is the truth? The truth is the word of God. The truth is knowing that Jesus died for your sins. The truth is the fact that Jesus is our God. He wasn't just a man, he was God. He lived on earth, he died, and he's seated on the right hand of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, then he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. So they put on, the Roman soldiers had a breastplate that they put on, and it helped protect their heart, this area of their bodies here. So when they were fighting hand-to-hand combat, if somebody hit them, they had a breastplate to stop the knife or the dagger or the arrow that was being shot at them. The Bible is clear. It talks about the adversary shooting these fiery darts at us. And if you get hit in the heart, you're done. But God has given us and has told us that we need this breastplate to have on to cover our heart, this breastplate of righteousness. And so by having that, it helps to protect our heart area so that when we're doing combat, which is not physical, the combats that we have are spiritual. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spirits and principalities. And all principalities are orders of angels. Evil angels, there's all kind of weird things that are going on. Those things are put about by the adversary. They're carried out by his angels or demons. So that is what we wrestle against. Those are the things that we fight against. And Paul here is telling us these are the things that we need in order to resist that. Next it says, on your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's verse 15. And your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what is that? What does that mean, Brother Chris? The preparation of the gospel of peace. So, the gospel does preach peace. If you listen to Pastor White's message from last week, it was called Weak Temples. And he gave the analogy of people that are Muslims, that when you say something about Muhammad, how they just tear things up. How when they made the cartoon of Muhammad over in France, and they went and blew the building up, and Pastor was having a conversation with the guy that had converted to be a Muslim. And the Muslim was saying that our God is weak. You know, our God, nobody scared of our God, is what the conversation that Pastor was having, that this man was saying to Pastor. And basically, Pastor said, well, yeah, they're not so much afraid of your God, they're afraid of y'all. Because when you mock Muhammad, y'all go and blow stuff up. Y'all go and kill, so they're not afraid of your God. Y'all afraid of Muhammad. Y'all, they're afraid of you. Not God, their God, but you. And so in the same way, this preparation of the gospel of peace, we don't operate in that same vein. We operate, when people say something about our God can defend himself. Our God has proven what he can do. When Elisha went out there and fought against the Baals and they dug, you know, they said, we're going to cut ourselves, we're going to do this, and whoever's God comes with fire, that's going to be God. Well, God showed up and Elijah just mocked all of the priests that were out there and told them, where your God at? Where your God at? And then finally, when it was his turn, God, not only did he send down fire to tear up the altar, he sucked up all of the priests as well. So he showed and proved himself who is God. God don't have to do that every day. It's already recorded, so we know what our God can do. So we don't have to go out and defend God. God can defend himself. If he's God, he made me. Well, I got to defend him. He's all powerful. I'm not. So we don't have to do that. So we have a gospel of peace, but our feet have to be shod with this preparation of the gospel because we have to be able to go out and tell people and be able to move because what they had, again, going back to the Roman soldiers, they had the shields that they had didn't cover all the way down to their feet. So they had a strong piece of leather, which was backed with metal, that flapped over their shoes. So if something came down on their foot or an arrow, it was able to disperse that. So God gives us all of these things to protect ourselves in this spiritual warfare that we're in as we're trying to draw closer and closer to him. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the Roman soldiers had shields. Now, it's not like the little Captain American shield that was like, you know, little round shield. You got to remember, these guys, when they went to war, they made these formations. So they would march in line, and their infantry was very much impenetrable. These guys, again, were ruthless. They carried a sword in this hand, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and a shield in this hand. So their shields, if you see that door over there, their shields were about the size of that door. So these weren't little weak guys, these Roman soldiers. These guys were pretty strong. They practiced all the time. I don't remember the exact age that young men like you guys, once they got around to y'all age, they brought y'all in like, no more mama. Y'all come over here, y'all about to be soldiers. That's how they did it. So from that time on, man, you were down there doing push-ups and burpees just like your coach make you run and do all that. They were doing all of that stuff, but they were preparing for war. So they were serious about it. So these guys, when they went to war, they carried a shield about the size of that door, and they carried it like so. But the shield, again, as I said, did not cover their feet, didn't cover the bottom of their legs, but it covered basically from all the way up here down to about right here. And that shield had a piece of leather on it, which was coated with a pitch that would put out fires when the fiery darts were shot from the enemies. So they could march into a war during their time. They didn't have Uzis and Colt 45s and all of that stuff back then, so they wasn't shooting at them like that. But there were arrows that they were being that were shot their way. And if you've ever shot a bow and arrow, which I have before, they can be very powerful. So they had to have a big shield that was very thick, that was coated, because sometimes as they would shoot those bow and arrows had fire on them. They were designed with a resin on it that would burn, so that when it whatever it struck, it would burn it up. So the Romans, because they were hardened soldiers that knew war and had been in wars, because the Roman Empire was very big, they understood that their shields had to quench those fiery darts that their adversary was shooting at them. No different than what Paul is saying here, that when the fiery darts were shot their way, they had this shield. That shield of faith was able to put out those fiery arrows that were coming their way, because if that shield did not, then it would burn and it would basically mess up their whole program from there. So their shields were big, was able to catch those fiery darts, and that shield of faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, those are the things that are able to put out the fiery darts of the wicked, which is the devil. And what the devil fires at us, he pulls his arrow, he's shooting doubt at us all the time. Doubt, just like I'm talking right now. Whether it's right now, or whether it's next week, or whether it's 5 years from now, if somebody sees what I'm saying, they'll say, man, this dude's stupid. He around here talking about a man, we don't even know if he was alive or not. The devil's always coming with doubt. No different than what he did with Eve in the garden. God didn't really say you was going to die. God just jealous. He don't want you to be like him. He's always got something to throw your way to try to get you off course. So in our walk daily, drawing nearer and nearer and nearer, going higher and higher and higher up with God, we have to recognize that the devil is always throwing doubt our way. That's what he uses to get us off course. When your bill come in, we all have bills, most of us anyway. Some of us may be more adept at paying them off than others. But the adversary is always telling you, that God, where is he now? Where is he now when those bills come in? Well, you have to keep your focus. We can't focus on what we see. We can't focus on that. We have to focus on the truth of this word here, that God will take care of us, money or not. The Bible tells us, and I think I've said this before, the Bible tells us that we need to work. But the Bible didn't say we had to have a job. Don't go quit your job. Stay on your job until you believe this fully. But I know many people that the things that they're doing, God takes care of them. God feeds them. God takes care of all their bills. I don't have time to go through all of it right now. However, these people, their walk is higher. They're not babes in Christ, and not that being a babe exempts you from this, because it doesn't. But the amount of faith that you have as you grow and draw nearer to God will help you to recognize that God is our provider. God provides for us, not the boss, not your employer. God provides for us. Now, once you understand this, and again, I will not tell anybody, hey, man, just leave your job and God go. No, I'm not saying. You have to know that for yourself. But I have seen people, and I know people, that they don't have a job. They ain't making $1 million, but all their needs are met. Because what they're doing, they've invested in God. They've invested and done what the word has said, and God has taken care of them. So the last two things, as we talk about in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So we'll talk about the helmet of salvation. Our salvation, guys, is what keeps our mind. It's what keeps what's inside our little dome here. Our salvation does. So the fact, again, that we believe and know that God, that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that when he died on the cross, the last thing that he said was, it is finished. And when he said it is finished, he meant that everything that we need, we can find there at the cross. We can find in him, in a relationship with him, which is, again, why we want to draw closer and closer to him. This salvation that we have in this word keeps out all of the doubt, keeps all of the foolishness from clouding our mind. Now, what we have to do after we have accepted that, again, I said earlier, our salvation is free, but it costs. So the cost is, we have to be super careful what we look at on our phones, whatever that is, whether it's social media. Sometimes I think I'm what they call a troller. Is that right? A troller is when you look at it, but you don't respond. I don't know. I don't do real good on this social media stuff. But I just, so for layman terms, for Brother Chris terms, I just look at Facebook sometimes, then I turn it off, or I look at Instagram. And the only reason I do it is because I have to do it for some other stuff that I do. And I'll see stuff, but certain things I just turn. And then after a second, I put it down. And the one thing that I try not to do is in the morning. My wife always tells me, and I think they say this on some of these little posts, that you shouldn't sleep with your phone close to your head or whatever. And I kind of do. But what I do, it's on my nightstand, so I'm not too far from a nightstand. She puts hers in the bathroom, which is probably what I should do. But the whole issue is when you get that phone, the temptation, the devil, and this is the devil. It's the devil. Believe me, this is what he does. You want to grab that thing and look at Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is that's on that phone. And if you do, I've done it before, but let me hit my little Bible app and let me do that if I'm going to do any of that stuff. So there are things that we have to do as believers, trying to draw nearer and higher and get closer to God, that keeps us, that keeps our mind. We can't be looking at our phone all day. And if you do, if you're looking at your phone all day and you're looking at your Bible app or something along those lines, that's one thing. But just all of the other rigmarole that gets you sad because, oh, man, look at his house. Look at his car. Look at what he doing. Look at this. One thing I know right now is all of the people that I finished school with, I don't really talk to them people. None of that stuff even matters. They ain't worried about me. I ain't worried about them. It might be one or two that I see. I didn't finish school with my wife, but I guess she cares for me. But other than that, it really doesn't matter. All of that stuff is just an illusion. It's real, but it's an illusion because you're looking at it, and sometimes you get engrossed in it, and you go, wow. That's... We need the helmet of salvation. That's where our focus should be. And that keeps all of the rigmarole away. We don't have to worry about all of the foolishness coming into our mind if we keep that helmet on. And the last thing is, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in all of this stuff that the Roman soldiers had on, their main weapon was their sword, which is what Paul is talking about here. They had a sword. And that sword had two edges, which is talked about also in the Word of God, where it says the Word is like a double-edged sword. All of this is coming from these Roman soldiers that Paul saw. So they had a sword, and there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So this is the only, and it's the only, but it's the only thing that we need to fight against the things that are going on. And if you purpose yourself to read this word, regardless of who your mama is and how bad she or he was, your dad was, regardless of where you came from, regardless of how little bit of money you had, regardless of what people thought of you or how people treated you, regardless of any situation that you went into that you thought of as negative, this word of God will turn it around for your good if you purpose yourself to it. Now, you have to be diligent. Diligent means that you're on it, you're on it, you're on it, you're on it. The Bible says the diligent will be made fat. So anything you want, this is just a true principle. If you want something, you want some money, work. Ain't no magic. You want some money, work. You don't need the government. If you want some money, work. You don't have to be a Christian. If you want some money, work. Now, I think you should be a Christian. That's what we do in here. But if you want some money, anybody want some money? Work. I see these young men raising their hand. I want some too. But work. The people that you see that have it, they work. They up all night and all day. They work and they getting it in. So we have to work, but that this word here will give you much more than money. You can get money from it too, because the Bible says it. The diligent will be made fat if you work. But the Bible also says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently, you see that word again, that diligently seek him. So it's not enough for you to get up, and my book is to this here in Philippians. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ, which are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Amen. Then they walk off. No, that don't get it. You got to put, God ain't no fool. God knows everything. You know how much time you spend with God. If you're trying to get higher and closer to God, then you got to put that time in. You have to. Otherwise, the things that you're seeking, you're not going to get them, especially in this evil day that we're in. You have to put the time in with God in order to receive the things that you want for him. And in order for you, in order for God to allow you to draw closer to him. So let's examine something here. So we talked about the Roman soldiers and this analogy that Paul used about the whole armor of God and the sword of truth. But let's examine. Lord help me, I don't want to lose this part here. In 1 second here, we're going to get this. We're going to keep this going. The adversary will not win on this one, because he's going to bring it back to my remembrance what it is. Got it. Let's go to Romans 12, 2. It's going to kind of segue in. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, I'll just read it from here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what I was talking about as far as reading this segues right into this. If we're reading this word here, it transforms and renews our mind. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, once you get saved and you learn who God is and you're on this journey to draw closer and closer, just because you got saved doesn't mean that all your thinking is saved, because it ain't. my thinking was not saved. Now, there were some things that once I got saved, bam, the Lord took those things from me. Now, I still like music, but back then, man, I was Mr. Rapaholic. I could name you every rapper that there was. I knew all of their lyrics. I knew all of their songs. I had a ton of, I guess those are 45s, the records? Albums. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. I had albums. I had cassettes. Y'all, some of y'all youngsters don't know what them cassettes are, but I still have some of the, I still have some cassettes, not those. No 8-tracks. We had some 8-tracks back in the day. If anybody that don't know what an 8-track is, they were kind of big cassettes. But all of that stuff, the Lord took that away from me when I got saved. Now, do I still listen to certain rap music that's Christian and acceptable? Sometimes I do. But if it ain't acceptable, it's got to go. He took that away from me just instantly. My mind was changed from the time I got saved that I can't listen to that stuff no more because my mind has to go in a certain direction. And as I heard the word and as I read it, it didn't conform to this. If it didn't conform to this, I got to renew my mind. I got to read this because my mind has to line up with what I'm seeking from God. The Bible says that if you draw closer to God, he will draw closer to you. Amen. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. So what I had to do in that time was start transforming my mind by what I was reading. And every day, God is going to keep you. So whatever it is that you're into, you don't need to tell nobody. You don't need to give everybody all your background. But whatever it is that you were into, God will line, as you seek his word and be diligent about seeking it, God will line up your mind with his word and will push all that other thinking out. And when people see you, they're going to have different things to say about you. It's people that know you, not just random people, people that know you. I remember seeing some of my friends, because I played basketball back in the day. And when I saw a good friend of mine way back when, he was like, he said some things that normally would have set me off, that would have really, we'd have got into it, and I didn't. And he said, man, what's up with you? I'm like, what you mean? Man, you didn't. I was like, nah, it's all good. You know, and I heard somebody say that, you know, dead men don't respond to foolishness like that. Now, not that I was all the way dead, because there was some foolishness that I did respond to, even though I was saved. And the Lord is still, you know, getting it out of me, delivering as I seek this word. But there are certain things, you know, a dead man, they don't respond. I won't go to that analogy, but dead men don't respond to insults. They don't. They just lay there. And as we die in Christ, that old man, the old man that would have jumped up and would have did something, would have been ready to hit somebody or would have got after somebody, when that man dies off, you don't respond to the foolishness anymore. There are things that are going on in my life right now that 30 years ago, I'd have been up in somebody's business challenging them to a fight. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, no, I'm getting my stuff. You're going to give me my stuff because y'all messing up my stuff. But as you die to those things, you start realizing in the spirit that God don't, man, what kind of Christian are you? Out here challenging people to a fight. That's foolishness. You can't do that. You know, not only is it not good for your spiritual health, it's not good for your physical health now because ain't nobody fighting no more. These people pulling out guns and shooting and all kind of things. That's not, you can't live in that. And so as we move forward and progress, be not conformed to this world. He's talking to us, believers, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is that we be well. And so our mind has to be transformed once we move closer and as we are drawing and getting higher and closer to Christ, right? So those are things that we want to do, that we're going to continue to do as Christians and believers as we try to draw and get up closer, higher and higher and higher with Christ. The next thing that I want to do is I want to go to, let's go to Peter chapter 22. I'm sorry, Peter chapter 2. I think that's 1 Peter chapter 2. verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So what I'm gonna touch on here is, as babes in Christ, God, Jesus still loves us. So I wanna go back to that babe, immature and mature Christian. God still loves us. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. So it basically is telling us that once we make that decision to consider Jesus Christ as our Savior, you got to be on that word. You got to desire it. You got to desire the sincere milk because it's what increases our spirit and draws us. And as we learn more and more about Jesus' goodness, we want to then commune more with him. And what I mean by commune is we want to be in relationship with him. On Thursdays, here we have, well, it's not here anymore, but we're doing it at home. Have 2 hours. At some point, somewhere, you need to stop. And even if you can't do the 2 hours, if it's 10 minutes, you have to get into a habit of praying and seeking God. You may not have 2 hours. You may not have an hour. If you have 2 hours, great. Jesus prayed all night. He was God. How much more we need to pray, right? So we need to make sure that we're communing and that we're growing with God. And because Jesus loves us wherever we came into the kingdom of God at, that's a given. As we continue to grow, we have to be careful, though. Because as babes, God is keeping his hands on us, and he's always watching over us. But then he allows us to make choices and make decisions, right? As we're making these decisions about how we follow God, we have to be careful of one thing, or a couple things. The main one is pride. Pride can come up on us as Christians, which is why, again, we have to read and be aware of the things that the devil places in our midst. The Bible says that pride comes before a fall. So we don't want to get to a point where, okay, we're reading and we're getting stronger and we're drawing closer to God. And we get to a certain point where we start feeling as though, I got this Christian thing. You know, I've read that chapter. I've read this. I understand that. I understand enough. Again, all of these are things that the adversary does to draw us off course, right? So we don't want to allow pride. That's a form of pride that gets on us, that tells us, basically, we don't need any more God. You may not be saying that in your mind, but that's basically what goes on when we stop praying, when we stop diligently, daily reading our word. And we've all, well, let me not say we've all. I'm going to use Chris, for example. I've been there. I've gotten to a point, but it don't last long because all God got to do is just zap you one time with something crazy and you realize, I don't want to live like this because God says, you know, the Bible says that he chastens his children. So if you're out there and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, he's going to get that strap and he's going to pop, pop. He's going to help you to get back in line, which is why he does that. And so if we as saved people go through those things, imagine those that are not. You know, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. It rains on us. We have God to help us to get through. People that don't, they have to rely on willpower and other things to help them to get through. But God uses that rain sometimes when we, you know, like I guess it was raining outside earlier and we all have our umbrellas and you get from under that umbrella, what happened? We all get wet. So when we stay under the umbrella, we're pretty good. But we have to recognize that our umbrella, as we were talking about, is very similar to what we were talking about with the whole armor of God. We have to stay up under that. We have to stay protected because if not, we're going to experience some things that just aren't good for us and aren't good for our growth as Christians. So we have to recognize that our growth and our relationship with God is what brings us from a newborn babe into a mature Christian. And as we continue to read, we mature. We mature. It's no different than, I'm going to go back to another basketball analogy. So when we're playing basketball, everybody likes to be able to jump high and do all of those things, right? So there are exercises that you can do that help you to jump higher, right? So you do those exercises over and over, and it helps you, you know, to have squats. You know, you get down, you do your squats, you come up, And there are ways that you can do them that are more effective than other ways. You know, you can put a board down and you have your feet up. I can't balance like that. You have your feet up and you do the squats like that. And you spring up. You spring up, right? You can also do lunges. And when you do lunges, you're working on certain parts of your legs. But in the same way, in doing all of those exercises, there are main muscle groups that you're working. So if I'm doing lunges, you go down like so, then you come up. Then you go down like so, and then you come up, right? Those are lunges, so it helps your legs. You feel it in your quads, you feel it in your hamstring, you feel it some in your calf. But the other benefit, no different than the Word. See, when we read the Word, we learn about God, we learn about all of the things that he does for us. We learn about other people, you know, the prophets in the book. We learn about the disciples, all of those things. We also learn there are other benefits, the joy and the peace that we get. We also learn about some of the struggles that people that were Christians get. But through those struggles, there's also patience that's being built. There's also other things that are being built up on the inside of us that bring us and allow us to get higher and higher with Christ. So no different than when I'm doing these exercises, I'm working those muscle groups, but some other unknown muscles that I'm working on my balance too. So it's the same way. I'm staying balanced. The more I get in this Word and do what it says, the more balanced I become as a person. So there's benefits, guys. There's benefits from learning, from reading this Word on a daily basis. And even when it seems like it's mundane, like it's, I got to do this again, recognize the additional benefits that you get as a result of reading and seeking God. And the more and more and more that we seek God and come up a little bit higher with him, the more you're going to see the benefits in your life. So as I get close to this closing time and allow you guys to get out in the, hopefully in good weather and head home, I just want to make sure that we all, in doing this message, I said that, you know, when I started off, that I wanted to make sure that once we become believers, we should purpose to reach the highest level of relationship with God, right? Whatever you do, the most important thing that you can do is seek God in every situation in your life. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small that you can bring before him. If there are things that you don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit. He will give it to you. It may not be immediately like that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to get through to us in order to bring out whatever it is that you're trying to find out, or you may have to go a day or two seeking him. But he's never going to leave us alone. When Jesus left, he said he would send us the Holy Spirit so that he could counsel us. So no different than a counselor at your school. You go to them to ask them questions about how can I go to school? Or how can I do this? Or I have this going on away from school. You can go to the Holy Spirit and ask him those questions, ask him those things that will help you to benefit. So in the same way, as we come up and we get a little bit closer every day with the Lord and we build our relationship with him, it's important that we make sure that we take control and make the right choices, and that right choice is to always be in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank everybody for their time. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor White's going to come up and dismiss us. So at this time, let's bow our heads. We'll pray, and then Pastor White will be the next voice up. Father God, we thank you again for this time, Lord. You are a good God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your people, Heavenly Father, have heard something of your word that benefits them. And Father, I ask that even now that you would give us traveling mercies on our way home. And Father, we thank you again for this church. Father, it is good ground. It is fertile soil. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bless each and every member, each visitor, each person, Lord, that regardless of their relationship here with us, that they too, Heavenly Father, will reach higher and higher and seek a relationship that is deeper and deeper so that you might share the mysteries of your kingdom. Father, we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.